Well, you know, I don't know about you, but I like change. I mean, sometimes change is a bad thing, right? But oftentimes in my life, change is good. I need change. You know, like hopefully everybody changed their underwear last night or this morning before they came, right? Change can be a really good thing. And as we get ready to go into a new year, this is often the time that we think about change. We look back on the past year of our life and we reflect on all that's happened. We reflect on the good things that have happened, the bad things that have happened. We reflect on the areas of our life that maybe we need to get a little bit better. And so as we head into 2020, we're kicking off this year with this series that we're calling Domino Effect. And we're talking about this whole idea of habits and how it is our habits that are going to help us achieve our goals, not just the goals themselves. Because at the end of the day, you can set a goal, but if you don't put the habits in place, if you don't have habits in practice to help you achieve that goal, the goal's probably not going to matter all that much. And so last week, we began by asking this question. Who do you want to be? Who do you want to be? Because at the end of the day, this question should be driving all of the decisions that we are making, all of the habits that we are putting into practice stem from this. Who do I really want to be? And what we talked about last week is that if you are a Jesus follower, and I don't know, maybe you're here in the room today and you're on the fence about this whole God thing. You're not really sure. But if you are a Jesus follower, I'm talking to you now for a second. Our desire should be to be more like Christ. Because we recognize that the more like Him we become, the better our lives become. Our identity should be in Him. And once our identity is in Him, it has a domino effect on every aspect of our life. It begins to change every other aspect of our life. That question is vitally important because until we understand who we are, we will never develop habits that stick. Because, and we talked about this last week, who you are determines what you do. Who you are is what determines what you do. When I believe that I am something, I am much more likely to stick with those habits because it is who I am. It is not just something that I do. I want to encourage you, if you weren't able to listen to week one of the series, grab our podcast. We're on pretty much every platform you can think of podcast-wise. We just launched our YouTube channel this past week so that you can now actually watch the messages. I want to encourage you, go back, catch up on that message because to me, it's foundational for the rest of what we're going to talk about. Until we understand this concept, the rest of this stuff, honestly, it doesn't matter. We have to understand who we are. But this week, I want to take it a step further. Now that we've kind of laid that foundation, I want to get to the thing that I think most of us really want to know. How do I actually establish habits that stick? I've got this thing in my life that I want to change. I want to get better in a certain area. But every time I try, I fail. I've tried this in 2017, in 2018, in 2019, and every time I failed. And so what I want to get into a little bit today is how do we actually start and stop habits. Now, before we can really begin to answer that question, the first thing we've got to do is we've got to understand what a habit is. Like, what is the definition of a habit? And to me, it's very, very simple. A habit is something that you do without thinking that is very difficult to stop doing. Once you start doing it, you do it without thinking, and you have a very hard time stopping it. Partly because you don't even realize you're doing it. Maybe you know this, maybe you don't, but 40% of what you do on a daily basis is habit. And that's actually a really good thing. In fact, our Creator, our amazing, brilliant Creator, wired us this way for a reason. Think about this with me for a second. Habits should be a very good thing. Now, they can be a negative thing, but they should be a very good thing in our lives. Because at the end of the day, if you had to make decisions about every little thing that you did every single day, you would be exhausted by the end of the day. And you wouldn't be very efficient and you wouldn't get very much done. What habits allow us to do is do things really efficiently and free up time and energy and mental space so that we can actually learn new things. Think about this with me for a second. When you get into a car, what's the first thing most of us do? We put on our seatbelt, right? And I do that, I don't know about you, at this point in my life, I do that without thinking. I don't have to think as I'm walking up to my car, okay, Justin, when you get in, put your seatbelt on now. Why? Because for year after year after year as a kid growing up, my mom would say to me, Justin, put your seatbelt on. Justin, put your seatbelt on. Justin, put your seatbelt on. Until it became so automatic, it became so habitual that I don't even think about it anymore. I get in the car, and the second I reach for the door handle, it triggers in me that habit. Put your seatbelt on. How about crossing the street and looking both ways? I mean, I don't think about this anymore. Maybe you do. I don't. When I come up to a street and it's a busy intersection and I know that there's cars that are going to be driving on that street, I don't have to think about the fact that I need to look both ways before I cross the street. Right? Habits are a really good thing because if you're like me, I can get distracted by things. I might walk up to that street and I'm on my phone one day, or I'm having a conversation with somebody else, and I might walk right out into traffic and be gone. But that doesn't happen. Why? Because I have developed habits, and habits can be a very, very, very good thing. Now, I want to take a look at a diagram because not only do we need to understand the definition of a habit, we also need to understand how habits form. Because in order to form good habits, we kind of need to know how they form, right? And so I want to look at this thing called the habit loop. Let's throw that up on the screen here for a second. This is called the habit loop. This is how habits form. Now, I told you last week, I read this book back in the fall called Atomic Habits by this guy named James Clear. And this is one of the things that he presented. And I thought this was just fascinating. This is the habit loop. It starts with a cue. The second piece of it is a craving, then a response, and a reward. So cue, craving, response, reward. This is how habits develop. First, there is a cue. So let's just take this for example. I'm walking down the street. Maybe I work down in Pittsburgh, work in one of the high rises. I'm walking from my car to the building, and all of a sudden, I smell donuts coming from a donut shop. That's my cue right there. And then immediately I get a craving. I want a donut, right? You smell the donut, you want a donut. And then what do? You have a response. I go into the donut shop. I buy the donut and I eat the donut. And that is my reward, right? I don't know who came up with the idea of the donut. I would love to just give them a big hug. Like whoever came up with deep fried dough with sugar all over it should get some kind of an award. This is the habit loop. And what happens then is, okay, every time now you walk down the street, before you even get to the donut shop, your mind is already in the habit of, I'm going to get a donut because I want that reward. Right? You don't even have to smell it. But boy, the second you smell it, triggers that loop all over again. Now you're in the donut shop, you're buying the donut, you're eating the donut, you're enjoying the donut, and you get this reward, right? Cue, craving, response, reward. This can work in a lot of different ways. Think about this. How about this example? You're at work, and you are in the biggest project you have ever been in your life, and it is stressful. Very, very stressful. That's your cue. You get a craving. I want to relieve that stress in my life, right? Have you ever been there? This is a stressful, stressful moment. I want to relieve that stress. So what do? I reach for my phone and I get on social media to relieve the stress. I want something to take my mind off of the stress of that project. And the reward is, that's what happens. For a moment or Unfortunately, for some of us, for a few hours, we escape from the problem that we had. And now, again, okay, let's take it back to the loop. This is a loop. It happens over and over again. Every time I get stressed, every time I get frustrated in my job, I crave the release. I reach for my phone and my social media. I receive the reward. And now I'm in this endless habit loop. And I didn't even realize it was happening. And that's why I'm sharing this information with you. Because this is what was so mind-blowing to me. I had no idea this was happening in my brain. And it can be a very, very good thing, or it can be a very negative thing. And so what I want to talk about today is this. We can set goals, we can do all the goal setting we want, but we have to understand habits and how they form. And what we really need to focus on, and we touched on this a little bit last week, is we don't want to focus on the goals. We want to focus on putting the systems in place, the habits in place that will help us to achieve the goals that we want to achieve in 2020. Again, James Clear in Atomic Habits, he says this. I love this. We don't rise to the level of our goals. We fall to the level of our systems. You can set all the goals that you want, but you don't have the systems in place. Forget it. You're not going anywhere. And so today, here's the message, and here's what I want to encourage you to write down if you're taking notes this morning. It is your commitment to the process that will determine your progress. It's the commitment to the process that's actually going to determine the progress that you make in this life. Now, there's this guy by the name of Noah. And most of you probably know the story of Noah. It's one of the most famous stories in the Bible. Even if you didn't grow up going to church or going to Sunday school or whatever, you've heard this story before of Noah and the giant boat that he had to build. One day God comes to him, the world is just this wicked, awful place, and God decides, you know what, I'm done. I'm going to wipe people from the face of the earth. But there was this one man, this one righteous guy named Noah, and God decides to save him and his family. So he comes to Noah, and he tells him, I want you to build an ark, a boat, this massive boat, and we're going to put all the animals on there, we're going to save the animals, you're going to save the planet, all right? Save the whales. Whales didn't go on the boat. You know what I always wondered? Sidetrack. Why did God allow stink bugs on the ark? Have you ever asked that question? Like, come on, God, really? And why did Noah not find a way to just like, you know, let them off the boat and drown? I don't know. I think that every time I see a stink bug in my house. Like, seriously. Okay, back on topic. So Noah is charged with building this boat. And I don't know if you realize this or not, but Noah didn't build the boat in like 30 days or a year or 5 years. Most scholars believe that it took anywhere between 50 and 75 years for Noah to build the boat. That is a long time. Now, I know they lived till like 500 back then, but that is a crazy long time. And so if I'm Noah, I start building that boat. You know, you go out and you start chopping the trees down by hand. You know, it wasn't like they had, you know, caterpillars back then to like go and just do all the work for them. I mean, he did everything by hand. Chopping the trees down, cutting up the wood, sanding it, fitting it perfectly into this boat. And day after day after day, just working at this thing. And if I'm Noah, in the back of my mind, there's a point where I'm like, this is absurd. Like, I am working and working and working, and yeah, it seems like we're making a little bit of progress here, but we have such a long way to go in this thing. Like, when is this thing going to be finished? And what I want you to hear about Noah is that in Noah, there was something that I think needs to be in all of us if we are ever going to achieve the goals that we really want to achieve, the ones that are really going to matter. He was fixated on something. Process. Every day, he built a boat. And he'd go home and he'd eat dinner and he'd hang out with his family and he'd go to sleep and he'd wake up in the morning and he'd do it all over again. Day after day. Build the boat. Build the boat. Build the boat. And if it's me, I get discouraged. I'm like, come on, like, I'm not seeing any progress here. I mean, have you ever been in that place before? You set out with this goal. You thought, I'm going to achieve this thing this year. I'm going to get this thing done. And then a few days in or a few weeks in, I don't see any progress. I mean, I'm exercising every day and I haven't lost a pound. I'm eating all the right foods. I haven't lost a pound. And we get frustrated, don't we? And what happens? We quit. Right? We quit. We've all been there before. Yeah, I'm going to do this. I have the best intentions, and then I end up quitting it. Why? Because we're too focused on the goal. We're not nearly focused enough on the process. And this is what I love about Noah. He never gives up on the process. He just keeps building the boats. And I want you to hear this morning. Somebody needs to hear this today. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean God isn't doing something with it. Just because you're working and you can't see any progress and you can't see that anything has happened, any good has happened, that any change has happened, doesn't mean that there's not something happening as you are focusing on the process. See, there's this thing called the plateau of latent potential. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but think about an ice cube in a room that's 24 degrees. We'll just start there, right? Water freezes at 32 degrees. Second it hits 32, it starts freezing. By the time it's down to 24, man, it's totally frozen, right? Now, I want you to imagine that in that room, we slowly began to crank the temperature up. We go from 24 to 25 degrees. 25 to 26. What happens to the ice cube? Nothing. At 26 degrees, it's still just as frozen as it was at 24, but the temperature is going up. 27, 28, 29, 30 degrees. What happens? Nothing. It's still frozen, right? The temperature's now gone up 6 degrees, but that ice cube is still frozen. 31. 32. It's now gone up 8 degrees, but guess what? At 32 degrees, that ice cube is still frozen. But guess what happens when you go to 33? It starts to melt, doesn't it? And as you go to 34 and 35 and 36 and 37, it just starts to melt more and more and more. And the whole idea, the whole point is this, is that sometimes as we focus on the process, as we work and work and work towards our goals, nothing seems to happen. It doesn't feel like there's any progress being made. But there is. There is progress being made. And all of a sudden, at the time we probably least expect it, there's a breakthrough. Something happens. We make progress. There's a change that goes on inside of us. I told you last week that I coach distance runners. And oftentimes what will happen in distance running is that a kid will train and train and train. I mean, weeks and months at a time, and they won't see any progress. They won't get any faster. And then all of a sudden, after months of training, it's like, boom, they drop a big time. They drop 30 seconds. They drop a minute off of their time. And it seems as if, wow, it just happened overnight, but it didn't. It didn't happen overnight. It happened in the day to day as they focused on the process, day in and day out. And I think for some of us, and this is what I want you to hear from all of this, I think for some of us, we just give up too early. We don't see any progress. We don't see any results. And so we quit. And I've been there. This happened to me so many times, I can't count. And what I want you to hear this morning is this: don't quit. Don't quit. Keep going. Because there's going to be a breakthrough if you stay true to the process, to the things that you know are going to get you to the goal. It might not happen in the timing that you want it to. It might not happen as fast as you want it to, but you will get there. It's vitally important. But I want to give you something really practical this morning. Something that you can actually begin to put into practice. A process that you can begin to use to try to actually change behavior. It's called the four laws of behavior change. This is what it says. It says, number one, we need to make it obvious. Number two, we need to make it attractive. Number three, we need to make it easy. And number four, we need to make it satisfying. If you want to actually change something that you have had trouble changing, there's actually a process for that that will help you to be able to do that. Okay, so let's take exercising, for example. That's a New Year's resolution for a lot of people. I want to start exercising more. I know, not everybody. Some of you are like, no. No exercise. I'm not giving in, right? But for those of us who want to learn to exercise more, number one, we have to make it obvious. So every morning when you get up, get your workout clothes out the night before. Get your shoes out the night before. Set them on your nightstand so it's the very first thing that you see if you're going to work out in the morning. Maybe you work out in the afternoon. The night before, pack your bag. Put your workout clothes in your bag. Put your bag down by the door so that you can't miss it when you're walking out the door. Make it obvious. Make it so that it's right there in front of you. Second, make it attractive. Lots of people don't like to exercise. It's boring. It's painful. I get it. Yes, it's both of those things. How can you make it attractive? There was a guy I read about. I thought this was fascinating. He didn't like working out at all, but he loved watching Netflix. Anybody else relate to that? Right? He didn't want to work out, but he wanted to watch Netflix. And so here's what he did. He took every TV in his house and he got rid of it. And the only thing he kept was an iPad. And then, he must have been some kind of engineer or something, he took his iPad and he rigged it up to his exercise bike so that the only way he could watch Netflix was when he was pedaling his bike. Isn't that genius? That's how you make exercising attractive, right? I get to now exercise while I'm doing something that I really enjoy, watching Netflix. And he made it so that it was the only way that he could do it. Now, I'm not an engineer. Most of you probably aren't engineers. What's a different way you could do that? For me, just I'll give you my own personal example. I love listening to podcasts and audiobooks. I love learning. And so one way that I will kind of habit stack that with exercise is I will listen to podcasts and I will listen to audiobooks while I'm working out. So I am making it more attractive. I'm getting to do something that I love with something that sometimes isn't always awesome, right? Make it attractive. Okay, third one, make it easy. How do we make it easy? If you are working out at some gym somewhere and it's 30 minutes from your house and it's not on the way to work or on the way to someplace you're going to go on a regular basis, how often do you think you're going to go to the gym? Probably not very often, right? I wouldn't. I'm not driving 30 minutes out of my way. So number one, pick a location that is going to be close to where you live and is going to be something you drive by on a regular basis. So if you drive 30 minutes to work, pick a spot that's on the way to and from work that you drive right by. Or if you got room in your house, set up a gym right in your house that you have to walk by every single day and look at it. And then, and this is so key, start small. This is what gets so many of us in trouble. We start with, oh, I'm going to start exercising this year. And we're like, I'm going to exercise for an hour a day. And we think we're going to go from 0 to 60 like that. It doesn't work like that. That's the worst way to try to develop a habit. Start with 5 minutes. I know that sounds absurd, but literally develop the habit of exercising for 5 minutes a day. And then as you've developed the habit, you can begin to increase the length. You can go from 5 to 10 to 15 to 20 to whatever your end goal is, but start small. Make it easy on yourself. You have so much better chance of success. And then finally, make it satisfying. Make it satisfying. So yeah, there's some sort of things that make it satisfying. Like if we actually start to lose weight and we're trying to lose weight, or we're trying to gain muscle and we start to see some impact, right? But for me, one of the things I like to do is I'm trying to eat healthy while I'm also trying to exercise. And so what makes it satisfying for me is I get to eat some things that I wouldn't be able to eat if I wasn't exercising. So if I get a 5 or 6 day week of working out in, I get that cheat meal one day a week, and I can eat whatever I want. Or every day after I work out, I have this protein shake that I really like. It basically tastes like a milkshake. I don't know how they do it. It's amazing. But I only get to drink that after I work out. You need to make it satisfying in some way. All right, now, some of you are probably sitting here and you're thinking, Justin, this is church, right? Aren't we supposed to be talking about God and spiritual things? What in the world does this diatribe have to do with our relationship to God and to Christ our Savior? Well, let me start with this. There is a habit that I believe if we would put into practice today, make it a habit and begin to do this every single day of our life, it would have a domino effect on every aspect of our life. It would make everything else better. Every other habit that we want to develop, every other healthy habit, this would help develop those habits. And at the end of the day, this is what I want for you. I want your life to be changed. As your pastor, more than anything, I want you to be impacted by the God of the universe and Jesus Christ, His Son, who came into this world to die for us, to pay the penalty for our sin, and to help us live a better life. That's what I want more than anything. And so all of this has been set up to get to this point. Don't miss this. All of that's important, but what we're going to talk about for the last few minutes here is paramount. The reason that I explained all of that, how habits form, the four laws of behavior change to help you begin to actually put some things into practice, is so that you can put these into practice with this one thing. We're going to call this a keystone habit. I read another book last year called The Power of Habit, and they talk about this thing called a keystone habit. It's the one habit that if you would put it into practice, it would have an effect on everything else in your life. And when I say this, the Jesus followers in the room are going to be like, yeah, duh, of course. That's the habit that we need to put into place. But here's what I find in my own life. Oftentimes, even though I know it's probably the most important thing I could be doing, it's the last thing on my list. It's the first thing that gets dropped. And so here it is. It's this simple. Every single day we need to develop a habit of interacting with God's Word. And it's so much bigger than just reading the Bible. Because I grew up in church. Maybe some of you did too. And I had people telling me, you need to read your Bible. You need to read your Bible. And you've probably heard it before too. 1,000 times if you've been in church. Read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible. Why? Why should I read my Bible? Because my Bible isn't what saves me. I don't know, maybe you believe that. If not, the Bible does not save you. Jesus Christ on the cross, paying the penalty for our sin, that's what saves us. But the Bible is so much more than a book. Just some random book. This right here, it's way more than words on a page. There's some scripture that actually talks about the Word of God. I want to read a couple of them to you here. So I want to really bring this point home. Number one, John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word. Notice that is capitalized. The Word is the very nature of who God is. You know, we talk about a God who we can't see, we can't touch. Sometimes we don't think we can feel. This is who He is. This tells us the very nature of who He is. And when we open this up and we begin to study it, we're not just studying words on a page. We're studying who God is. And as we interact with it, and we're going to get into that here in a second, what that actually means, as we do more than just read it, it starts to change our lives. It starts to have an impact on every aspect of your life. It says this in 1 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching and rebuking and correcting and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. It teaches us. It trains us for how to live this life so that we can actually go into the world and do good things. How about this one? Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is alive and active. It's alive and active. It isn't just words on a page. It speaks to us when we read it, when we allow it to. It says it's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It nudges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. You know what I love about this book, the Word of God, is that it reveals things in my life that I didn't even know were there. It reveals the deepest, darkest parts of me that need to change. And without this, they don't get revealed. There is no change, no real change, not change that matters. How about this one, finally? Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. I don't know about you, but there are many days when I face things that I don't have the answer to. I don't know what direction to go. And I'm struggling. And God has given us this to be our guide through this life. To be our guide in a dark place. To light our path so that we're not tripping and stumbling through it on a daily basis. And this is, I'm going to get up in your grill for a second. This is what's so tragic to me. We have direct access to the God of the universe through His Word, to His wisdom, to His truth, to His peace, to His comfort, to His joy. And I think many of us are not tapping into that on a daily basis. And I think there's a couple of reasons why. I think for some of us, we look at that thing and we think, that is the most confusing book I have ever read. And I get that. It can feel so confusing. I think some of you, maybe in the room, have been told, you know what? Only really super spiritual people should be reading the Bible. I mean, only the priests and the pastors should really be interacting with that. If somebody's told you that, that's a lie. This is a straight lie. God's Word is for all people. And you have just as much access to it as I do. I don't have the market on the knowledge of Scripture. I don't. No more than you do. You have a direct connection with that. Maybe some of you, you've tried to read it in the past, and it's just been too overwhelming. There's too much here. Look at the size of this thing. I don't know. I don't even know where to start. Here's what I want to do today. And as we get ready to go into 2020 and really get into this year, I want to just talk a little bit about how to develop the habit of reading this thing and give you some tips and some tools and some ways to make it more applicable and some ways that you can actually interact with it better. And the reason I'm telling you that is this. I believe more than anything, more than coming to church for 1 hour on a Sunday and listening to me speak or somebody else speak, more than listening to some podcast, more than listening to some worship song, if you will read this book, God's Word, it will have a greater impact on your life than anything else. And that's what I want for this community. As your pastor, what I want more than anything is for your life to be changed by this book. That's why we teach out of it every single week. So let's go back. Let's go back to the habit loop. All right, let's throw that image back up there again. Bring this back full circle, right? We've got a cue, we've got a craving, we've got a response, we've got a reward. This is why it is so vitally important that we understand God's Word and how to interact with it and how it can change us. Cue. Wow, I am having a bad day. I am so stressed out. I've got this thing in my life and I don't know how to handle it. I don't know what to do. I need wisdom. I need guidance. Craving. What am I going to do? I need something. I need something now to help me. Response. We can go to a lot of different things in that moment. Can't we? We can go to our social media. We can go to a bottle. We can go to exercise, which is what I've done in the past many times, if I'm just being brutally honest. Or we can go to God's Word. When I'm stressed and when I'm anxious and when I'm struggling and when I don't know the answer and I don't know what to do and I feel like I'm depressed and anxious and worried, open up God's Word. And I begin to allow it to speak to me and challenge me and encourage me and bring me hope. That's what it will do if you begin to interact with it. If you begin to understand it and learn it, know what God says, it will change everything. But you might be saying, okay, all right, I know I'm supposed to open God's Word, but I've had so much trouble doing that. Right? I mean, can we just be honest? Can we be real? Take the mask off for a second? It's hard sometimes. In the day-to-day, we get busy. There's so many other things vying for our attention. And you want me to read my Bible every day? What about all the other stuff I have to do? Well, let's go to the four laws of behavior change now. Let's take it back to that again. Right? Number one, make it obvious. We want to make it obvious. Right? Lay your Bible on your nightstand. Put it right where you can see it, where if you're going to bed and you're reading then, it's right there. If you're waking up in the morning, it's right there. Put it on the kitchen table where you eat breakfast. Maybe that's the place you need to put it. Put a reminder on your phone. This is what I do. Every morning I wake up, boom, it's right there. Justin, you need to be in the Word today. Your life depends on it. Your marriage depends on it. Your parenting depends on it. Your coaching depends on it. You being a pastor depends on it. Everything in your life depends on this right here. Nothing is more important than this. Make it obvious. Put it right in front of you so that you can't miss it. Number two, though, make it attractive. This is hard, right? Sometimes reading the Bible feels really boring. If you've ever read the book of Numbers or the book of Leviticus, right? You can get in there and it can feel really boring. Going through lists of genealogies and how many numbers of people are in certain tribes. And it's like, okay, this is boring. But there are ways to actually make reading the Bible attractive. We live in 2020. There's this thing called the YouVersion Bible app. I know a lot of you probably have it. Some of you probably don't and have never even heard of it. I don't know about you, but I'm an auditory person. When I read, this is what happens to me. Anybody else? Right? Like I'm 2 minutes into it and it can be the most amazing thing in the world, but it's like NyQuil for me. What helps me is to listen while I read. And so what I do is I get the Bible app, this YouVersion Bible app, and I read and I listen at the same time. And there are all sorts of really great things on this Bible app. There are all different types of studies and devotionals. There's even little things on how to read the Bible, how to learn how to read the Bible. If you do not have this app, I want to encourage you, go to the App Store, whatever platform you're on, and get it. Get the YouVersion Bible app. And I'll tell you this, we started this a couple of weeks ago. Anybody who's friends with me on the Bible app, you can actually have friends on there and you can see what each other are reading and highlighting. I invited a bunch of people from the church to be a part of a year-long Bible reading. We're going to try to read through the Bible in a year. We're doing this as a church. There's accountability there. If you want to join in on that, get the Bible app, friend request me, and I'll invite you in. I would love for you to take that journey with us. Because around here, here's what we want. We want you to interact with Scripture on a daily basis. And we want to make it attractive. We want to make it something that's fun, right? And we also want to make it easy, right? We're making it obvious. We're making it attractive. And we're going to make it easy. Let's go back to the exercise analogy. What did we say? You want to start exercising 60 minutes a day? Don't start just trying to exercise 60 minutes a day. It's not going to work. You're going to fail. Same thing is true when it comes to reading God's Word. You start trying to read an entire book every single day, you're going to fail. Not going to work. You may not even be able to read 3 or 4 chapters a day. How about this? 1 chapter. That's it. It'll take you 5 minutes. 1 chapter a day. Just begin with that and begin to see how that will actually change you. Because here's what happened to me. I started with 5 minutes a day and 5 turned into 10 and 10 turned into 15. And now I have to cut myself off because I do have other things that I have to get done during the day. But if I could, I would just sit and I would just be in the Word all day because it's just speaking to me and it's changing me. You will want more of it as you develop that habit. And it will change you. And finally, make it satisfying. And this one is easy. I don't know if there's any other habit in the world that you could develop where it will become satisfying without you even having to do anything about it. Because here's what's going to happen. As you begin to see God's Word change your life, it will be the most satisfying thing you have ever experienced. It will be so incredibly satisfying. So, we're going to make it obvious, we're going to make it attractive, we're going to make it easy, and we're going to make it satisfying. Now, the last thing I want to go over, and with this, I promise, we'll be done. When you read Scripture, sometimes it can feel very drab, it can feel boring, right? But if we put this method that I'm going to share with you here in a second into practice, I don't think it'll be boring anymore. I think it will come alive for you. It's called the SOAP method. Some of you have probably heard this before. So number one, Scripture, right? That seems pretty obvious. We need to read the Scripture. And what we need to do is we need to pick out, highlight, write them down, make notes, whatever. Whatever verses seem to jump out at you, whatever Scripture seems to speak to you, write them down. There's something powerful about actually writing things down or highlighting things. Second, we need to observe. There's an observation aspect to this. What is God trying to say to me in this Scripture, in this moment? What's He saying to me? Third, application. Apply it. Okay, God, I hear what You're saying. Now, what am I going to do with this? How am I going to actually put this into practice in my life, in my family, in my job, in my coaching, as a pastor, whatever it might be? Apply, apply, apply. And then finally, and this is the one that I think most of us, even if we've been reading God's Word for a long time, we skip this step. Prayer. As we hear the Word of God, as it speaks to us, as we understand how we're supposed to apply it in our life, we've got to pray that we will actually be able to do that. Pray that God will use that Word to change us and change the people around us. And if you will begin to put this into practice, your Scripture reading time, your devotional time, your quiet time with God, whatever you call it, it's going to go to a whole new level. You're going to see your life begin to change. But here's what I want to remind you. Let's come back to one more thing that we talked about earlier. That plateau of latent potential. Because I know for me, sometimes I go to the school of hard knocks. And it takes me a while. And I read and I read and I read something. And it doesn't sink in right away. And nothing changes right away. Keep reading. I cannot stress that enough. Keep reading. Keep digging into His Word. Keep allowing it to change you. And you might not see the reward right away, but you will eventually see it. Here's what I want. I want to be a church. I want to be a community. I want to be a movement of people who is in God's Word every single day, because I know that when that happens, not only will your life be changed, but this community, the greater Pittsburgh area, is going to be changed because of one small habit. It's going to impact every area of your life. You want a better marriage? You want to be a better parent? You want to have better relationships? You want to be better in your job? You want to be better in your finances? You want to break addictions? You want to have more joy and peace and contentment? This is the answer. God's Word living inside of us, changing us, moving us to action. But we have to stay focused on the process. Right? What did we say from the very beginning? It is your commitment to the process that will determine your progress. Your commitment to reading His Word is what is going to lead ultimately to progress in your life that matters. You see, as your pastor, have you ever heard the phrase, you know, catch a man a fish and he eats for a day? Right? But teach a man a fish and he eats for a lifetime. This is what I want for us more than anything. I want us to become a people who aren't needing to come into a building to listen to some guy talk about God's Word to interact with it. There's nothing wrong with that. This is a good thing. I love getting up here and speaking and teaching and hopefully challenging you guys. But more than anything, what I want is I want to hear that every day you're in the Word and that God has been changing you through His Word the way that it's changing me. The only way I'm able to even get up here and speak anything of any value is because of that Word. So today, as we get ready to head in to 2020 and really get into this year. Would you make that commitment today? Would you begin to develop the habit of reading His Word every day? And as a day turns into two, and two turns into three, and then it turns into weeks and months, would you allow it? Give it an opportunity to actually change you. Don't stop. Don't quit too soon. Don't quit before you begin to see the rewards. Because that's going to be the temptation. That's what your enemy wants. No, don't read God's Word. It's a waste of time. It's not doing anything for you. It's confusing. But it will change everything. I promise you that. It is so simple. It seems so elementary. And yet I don't think there's anything more important. I don't think there's a single habit we can put into practice. It's going to have more of an impact than that. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You that You change us through Your Word. Thank You that You have a desire to see us grow and make progress. I pray today that You would help us to fix our eyes on the process of just getting to know You through Your Word. God, help us to put some things into practice, some habits into practice that will help us to do that. God, I pray if there's anyone in the room who's never really interacted with Your Word before, that they wouldn't be afraid of it, but that they would take a step to begin to apply it to their life. Jesus, we thank You that You came into this world, as always. The Word became flesh, it says. You came to show us the way, to teach us. And I pray in this moment, that You would continue to do that, that our hearts would be open to You, that our lives would never be the same, that this year would be a year that completely changes everything, every aspect of our life because of one keystone habit. We love You. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen. Would you stand and worship with us and sing as we praise our God one more time?